Opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who supported me through this journey. Our topic today is an interesting one. The topic is intercultural public relations. And my guest today is Rebecca Baltzma. Now, Rebecca is an AI trainer and presenter advocating for AI literacy and ethical usage in communications and education. She has over 15 years of experience in strategic communications and public relations and is credited in public relations and holds a degree in professional communication. She lives in a small town in the Rocky Mountains in Alberta, Canada, and has four grown children in college. Now, I met Rebecca years ago because her and I both worked for another company together that's across Canada. But I found her again on LinkedIn. And when I started this podcast, I just had to have her on. So I'm just happy that this day has come into play today. Welcome to the show, Rebecca. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Andrew. I'm so excited to be here. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. How are things with you? What's going on? What's new? Tell us the story. Give us what's going on.
Well, it's been a busy year and a half for me. I kind of started being curious about artificial intelligence, AI, about a year and a half ago, and kind of took the deep dive into that. And so I've spent a lot of time over the last year and a half reading about it, playing with it, talking about it, but then trying to combine it with what I do in public relations and communications and figuring out where those might intersect and then trying to help other people figure it out. So it's been a busy year, but it's been great.
Yeah, I'm sure I talked to a lot of people about it and it's so interesting. There's so many different dynamics to it. So I'm really excited about this conversation today. I'm glad to hear that things are going well on your end. It's currently in the month of March here in our taping, and we just had a huge snowstorm here in my area with freezing cold weather. So I'm pretty much at this point when it comes to March, I'm pretty much fed up with the winter. I want the warm weather to come.
Same. I'm right in the mountains. We deal with that all the time.
Oh, for sure. So before we begin, Rebecca, I always have a fun question to ask my guests to get things going. Are you ready for your question today?
I'm ready.
Okay. Well, your question is, what is the one thing you could do today that you couldn't do 2 years ago?
Well, that one's probably too easy for me because 2 years ago, I could not have used AI to answer all of my questions and make all of the pictures that I use on my social media and my LinkedIn or have it give me summaries of 50-page documents. So definitely something I couldn't do 2 years ago, but I can do today.
Wonderful. I thought that was going to be the answer that I was going to get today when I gave you that question, but I thought maybe she might surprise me and come up with something else. But I had a kind of feeling that that was what it was going to be. So
I awesome. Think I might have a better one. One other thing I can do now is I can buy groceries and they're still in my house when I need them because I had four kids at home eating all the groceries, two giant boys, and now my groceries stay in my house now that they're at college. So that's something else I can do.
And I bet you the groceries are a lot cheaper now too.
Oh yeah. Saving a fortune.
Yeah, I bet. Well, thanks for having fun with me. That was a great answer. Quick, which is what I like. That's perfect. Why don't we start off with you telling us a little bit about you, your story, and your why?
Sure. So you and I worked together. I believe it was when I was working in kind of a recruiting type role. So I worked in communications, public relations, human resources. I mentioned I'm super involved in AI now. And I spent a whole year studying for a big exam, a public relations exam called the APR to make me accredited in public relations. It's kind of a widely recognized public relations designation. And during that time, based on what I was learning, I learned a lot about intercultural public relations, and the more I learned, the more I recognized the gaps in my everyday life. And then as I started learning more about AI, I started seeing really interesting ways that AI might be able to help us address some of those gaps. So that's kind of my why, is that I really feel passionately about intercultural communications. And I really think that's a key to building bridges and fostering understanding and ensuring everybody has a voice. And then combined with my passion for AI, I really see AI as a powerful tool to help the field of communications and public relations thrive and grow and overcome some of the challenges that may have been an issue in the past.
You mentioned, you know, that you and I worked together, you're doing some recruitment, you're doing some public relations, communications. So I'm sure that everything that you did up to now helped you to develop and be where you are now. So you learned a little bit of everything to get you to the point that you are now, is where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that is true. I think that all the little experiences we have lead us to a place where they all intersect and become something we're passionate about. And I think that's what happened here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a lot of people out there who feel like they can't go to another position because they don't have the knowledge, skills, or the abilities or the schooling. But you learn some things along the way. And it's important to realize that and putting those things together, you may not have this, but you have this, this, this. So that might help get you that position if you just try to apply for it. So that's something that I always teach people and tell them because it's very important for sure.
I completely agree.
So why don't you tell us what is intercultural public relations?
I think intercultural public relations, it's not just about effectively managing and facilitating communication across different cultures. It's more understanding how culture shapes communication and how to build meaningful relationships. I think the most important part of public relations in general is relationships. And so it's understanding how to build meaningful relationships across diverse groups. And that includes audiences like within an organization and then also like the wider public, depending on who you're working with or what the goals are. And so I think with AI, we're starting to see this fascinating role in these AI tools that, you know, will help further that intercultural public relations and help us be even better at building that shared understanding and building meaningful relationships.
When we say intercultural, are we talking like culture when we're talking about public relations as far as different ethnic backgrounds, different groups? Is that where we're going? Just so people kind of have a little bit of a better understanding.
Yeah, I think the whole idea of diverse groups, right? Like your podcast, Let's Be Diverse. I think it's really that idea of building relationships across cultures, across, you know, diverse groups.
So what are some of the barriers of intercultural public relations?
That's a great question. Based on sort of my research and my experience, I think there's quite a few. One, obviously, is a language barrier, right? The challenge of effectively communicating with groups across linguistic divides. That's obviously a barrier. There's a lot of cultural nuances and values and norms that can lead to misunderstandings in communication or misinterpretations, which can be an issue. I think a major problem is there's a lack of diversity and representation, just even within organizations or public relations teams. So there ends up being blind spots or biases, and you're not able to relate in meaningful ways to specific groups. So that idea of cultural blindness, lack of self-awareness of our own cultural biases, those blind spots is huge. And again, reiterates that idea of stereotyping and bias that might be unconscious, but it still leads to barriers in communications and public relations. So in the realm of how AI might be able to help with this, it's actually really, really fascinating to think about because there are a lot of tools now that offer language translation or sentiment analysis across cultures that will help further that cultural context, I think, and understanding. But then on the other side, there are bias and stereotypes that exist within the models too. So just having to go in, seeing both the good and the bad and seeing how it might be able to help further meaningful relationships in, you know, between cultures and within organizations, but not relying too heavily on them.
I was talking to somebody the other day and I was having a conversation with them about, you know, leaders and how you have different people from different ethnic backgrounds. And it's not just where they grew up, but it's also their upbringing as well. So some people have, you know, different upbringings of how they were brought up. So that takes a toll as far as the different individuals, not necessarily because it's a bad thing. It's just because they were brought up differently. So we have to, you know, as a leader, we have to understand this. And that would come into play when we're putting materials out, especially when we're talking about public relations. And, you know, especially if we're talking about stuff that's on a website, whatever, talking about the different things that we, you know, the values that we have at our company. These are things that we, you may not actually just say that word, but, you know, you can read it in the type to understand a little bit of what the company believes in.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that effective leadership piece is so critical, and that good leaders require that cultural intelligence and empathy and like that commitment to diversity and inclusion. It doesn't matter how you grew up. Those core human values of being empathetic and valuing cultures of belonging and that celebrate cultural difference and celebrating communication, mutual understanding, those foundational pieces are really, really important for leaders to have.
Exactly. So I think we kind of talked a little bit about it, but I want to kind of go into this a little bit deeper, Rebecca. How are leadership and intercultural public relations intertwined?
Great question. I think leaders really are responsible to lead the charge on how their organization interacts with all the diverse cultures that it interacts with. It starts from the top. And so leaders need to champion those inclusive communication practices and inclusive practices as they interact with stakeholders, all stakeholders, and really keeping that in mind. And again, focusing on those key values of empathy and caring and seeking to understand, I think is critical. When intercultural public relations is done properly for an organization, it's good for business and it's good for society as a whole. If a company is really good at doing that and creating safe spaces of belonging and fairness, I think that it betters everybody and it helps everybody be better. And it's a really critical thing that I don't think we focus enough on, but I think it's going to get easier to do well in the age of artificial intelligence, as long as that focus remains on those core leadership values that matter so much.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you on that. I love when you said responsible to lead the charge. I feel like people forget, a lot of leaders forget that they are the face of their, not just their company, but the face of their team. So they're going to follow what you do. So if you're a leader that's going to be, that's not good with chaos or good when something goes wrong, then they're going to follow. If you're a calm, cool, and collective and easy to talk to and will say, it's okay, guys, we're going to fix this, we're going to get through it. Just, you know, we'll have separate meetings, whatever, but we'll get through this. Then they're going to follow that lead. It's kind of like when we're a kid, like we play follow the leader. Well, we're going to, you know, as we get older, we're going to follow our leader or bosses, depending on what type of temperament that they're going to have.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you think the future looks like for intercultural public relations?
This is an interesting question. I really think because the world is getting so much more interconnected, that idea of being able to relate to a diverse public and have those really strong intercultural communication skills is going to be essential, critical for businesses to have to succeed. But I also think the future of public relations, of relationships with stakeholders, really AI is going to play a big part in that. I think we'll see a whole lot more integration of AI into everything that we do. And it will be good because we'll have more insights into cultural trends or nuances or communication patterns that allow us to be more effective in communication. And we'll be able to be better at developing personalized and effective cross-culture communication strategies while we partner with AI. So it has this real power to be transformative in the field of intercultural public relations. But the real value lies in combining that technology with human expertise and that human core values and the human touch. And I think that that will be really beneficial for everybody if that balance, we can strike that balance.
So I've spoken to a lot of people and they say that the one thing about AI is Well, you're not using it to write, you know, a full page novel or paper or what have you. But one of the things that they did say is that they felt is that when you're communicating, it's important to express yourself. So when you're writing, you want to express yourself as well. Do you think that AI is going to improve on that? Because a lot of people have said to me that when they use AI, it doesn't really come out. And these are just people's opinions, obviously, but it doesn't come out as, doesn't set the tone for the emotions that they're feeling when they're, if they were to write it out themselves, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. We hear that a lot, and I completely agree with it. I actually don't use AI as a writing tool. I think it lacks that human nuances that people want to read, and I think people want to read human-generated content. And so I like the idea of AI as a tool, as a thought partner, as to help us brainstorm, to help promote understanding, and maybe to help us organize thoughts and ideas. But I do firmly believe that humans should still be in the driver's seat and doing the writing and doing the actual communicating. And I think that that kind of solves a lot of problems. It keeps trust with stakeholders, and having it act more as a thought partner than a replacement also, I think, keeps that human element that is so critical. And AI can't sound exactly like a human because it's not a human, it's a machine. And people might not be able to tell, but sometimes they can. And sometimes you can sense when there's that humanity behind the writing. So it's great as a research tool. It's great as a thought partner. It's great for a lot of things. It just depends on the context and the tools you're using and your end goal. And in public relations, the end goal is always relationships. So we need to do everything in our power to make sure we maintain those relationships.
It makes me think of when, you know, like, for example, I'm from Quebec, so I speak French and English. So a lot of people who don't speak French at all ask me, well, how do you translate that? How do you translate this? But you can't translate it exactly. So it's, for me, AI is kind of like that. Like if you were to take a text and put it in, write it in English and put it on a site, and a translating site, and then write and have it come out in French, it's probably not going to come out as well as if you were to look at the wording and putting in the wording that you think would fit in. So that's kind of what it makes me think of, is I wouldn't use it to write anything as well. I mean, I would use it to see, okay, well, how would I, you know, how would AI say this type thing? But I wouldn't write anything important to and use it for that.
Yeah, I think it's a great tool to spark human creativity and to help get you started. But I think there's better ways to use it than for writing, in my experience.
Absolutely. So, Rebecca, how do you think your hometown or city molded you into the individual that you are today?
That's interesting because I grew up in a bunch of different cities, and now I live in a small town. Right. So I think I grew up in really intercultural communities, and then I moved somewhere that there's often a clear disconnect between various cultures in our area. And so that was very obvious to me. And because I came from outside of the area, I didn't grow up in it, so it didn't seem normal to me. So I noticed it more. And I work in education now, and so I see a lot of the implications of that and do a lot of work to try and reach diverse groups of stakeholders. And so I think that my vantage point was kind of made clear, bringing an outside perspective in and now really focusing on how to reach different cultures with communication. That was especially clear to me during COVID when we were trying to reach a lot of different groups with a lot of really critical information, and we couldn't use the same strategies for all of them. And so that really kind of influenced how I see communication, how I understand it. And so, yeah, I grew up kind of in from big cities to a really small town. And I think that influenced really the way I see things in my vantage point.
That makes total sense to me because I could see when you're saying different views of your vantage point, I could see you having to be adaptable, moving to different cities. And it's a big city, it's a small city. So having to adapt to your surroundings must have been, I wouldn't say a challenge, but it must have been something that you had to adapt to on a regular basis.
I think change is always hard in any context for everybody. So it's you always grow from it, but it's always puts you off kilter a little bit.
Yeah. That's why people don't like it. A lot of people don't like change because it's not familiar to them. But change sometimes, a lot of times, is for the better. And we just have to go roll with the punches and go with it for sure. This has been such a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. Again, I really wanted to have you on, and it just exactly went exactly the way I wanted it to. Do you have any final thoughts today?
I think I would just kind of remind everybody about how important it is, whatever industry you work in, you have stakeholders, you have relations with the public and with communities, and the relationships are the most critical part of that. And that means relationships with everybody and meeting people where they're at, and really seeking to understand and build relationships is the key to everything that we do in every industry. So the idea of public relations is a little stiff, but the idea of relationship building, I think, is universal. So I think no matter what you do, no matter what your role is, no matter what your organization is, if you seek to build relationships and focus on intercultural relationship building, I think it benefits everybody.
Rebecca, I want to say thank you for coming on today. And like I said, it's been something that I've been looking forward to. You are an amazing individual. I've heard you speak so many times, and you're such a clear thinker and speaker. You're very convoyant. And I just love the way that you just present yourself. I've always admired you over the years, and I was so happy that we reconnected again. It was awesome. And I really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm sure that everybody else will. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Andrew. It's been great.
You're very welcome. And on behalf of myself and Rebecca, I'd like to thank you all for listening today. And until next time, be safe. And remember, everyone, that if we all work together, we can accomplish anything.
You have been listening to Let's Be Diverse with Andrew Stout and Kate Teeves. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend. And to stay up to date with future content, hit subscribe.